This is Near FM.
Weekday mornings from 11.
This is Northside Today.
Okay, joining me on the phone now, I have Edward Horgan from the Irish Anti-War Movement. Good morning, Edward. How are you?
Good morning, Mark. I'm good.
Edward, thanks for joining us on Near FM this morning. Edward, I suppose we could start with last week, I suppose. We've seen the British government spend whatever numerous amount of hours in their parliament debating increased airstrikes in Syria. The Germans followed suit a couple of days later. They voted in favour of supporting increased airstrikes in Syria. And this all comes on the back, I suppose, of terrorist attacks we see going on around the world. Are we caught in a vicious circle here?
Very much so, in fact, and my strong opinion would be, and having worked in the Middle East, both in the past with the UN and more recently on election monitoring, I know the region fairly well. We are intensifying the vicious circle. The violence in the Middle East, the terrorism in the Middle East, and the terrible crimes committed by the terrorists are being fed and caused by international terrorism, state terrorism, bombing the Middle East in unjustified wars, and the more recent decision by Britain, far from making Britain safer, in fact, it will lead to a likely terrorist attack in the UK probably over the next few months.
Yeah, I mean, we do see in the days after we see atrocities like Paris, and I know there'll be another attacks around the world, whether you want to call them mine or a major or whatever. I mean, our opinions of them tend to be kind of formed by what way they're reported in the news media and everything else. When something like Paris happens, it's all over their news screens for a week. But also we see awful things happening in Africa, Nigeria and places like that, and we don't see much of it on the news. But so these kind of attacks are happening all around the world, and they've been happening for a number of years now. But when you peel back the layers and you go back and you look at the genesis of all of these things, do we begin to start seeing the creation of Daesh or ISIL or whatever people want to call them, and the current terrorist threats we have? Is the genesis of that in decisions made in maybe the US and Britain back in the 90s and early noughties, when Iraq was the rogue child and Saddam Hussein was the dictator that they set their sights on?
I would say it goes back even further to the 1980s in the invasion of Afghanistan by the USSR, and then the US funded the Mujahideen. They went on to become the Taliban. The Taliban created the atrocity in 9/11. Mm-hmm. The attack and the overthrow of the government of Afghanistan then led to Al-Qaeda. Al-Qaeda has now morphed into ISIS. So there's a very clear line of unjustified wars and unjustified attacks on the Middle East.
Yeah.
People of the Middle East are really no different from the people of Ireland. I've worked there. There are some lovely people. I have some very good friends. We claim, our government claims in particular, to be supporting the US to the misuse of Shannon Airport, because we should be supporting our friends in the United States.
Yeah.
We have friends in the Middle East. There's no reason why we should be creating enemies in the Middle East. And the US, NATO, Germany, Britain are daily creating new enemies. Every bomb that's dropped kills somebody new, and that creates terrorism. If I kill your children, there's a good chance it'll turn you into a terrorist because you had no other way of responding.
Yeah.
And this is what's happening. It is a hugely vicious circle, and there is ways of stopping it.
Yeah,
but we're not using those ways.
Yeah. I mean, these nations, and I mean, it was very prevalent in the debate we've seen in the British Parliament last week. You know, they're very insistent that the targets are very selected with precision, and that they know exactly where the bombs are dropping. They know exactly who the targets are.
And use the term smart bombs.
Yeah.
I've been in the military, Mark. I know that the military makes stupid mistakes.
Yeah.
There is no such thing as a smart bomb. There is no such thing as a precision surgical strike. Bombs are dropped from 10,000, 20,000 feet up in the air. They kill dozens of people, and nobody in the plane cares.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen bombings in the Middle East. I was in the Sinai in 73 during the Yom Kippur War. I saw the results of the bombings on the ground.
Yeah.
and it's dead people, lots of dead people, and indiscriminate dead people. There is no way of distinguishing from 20,000 feet or 30,000 feet whether the person you're bombing is a member of ISIS or a little four-year-old child.
Yeah.
And some of the statistics coming out now, in fact, there's a very credible recent report by a group called Physicians for Sociological Research, which tells us that between 1 and 2 million people have been killed in the last 10 years in Afghanistan, Pakistan and Iraq, not counting Syria, Libya and Yemen.
Mm-hmm.
My estimate is that of that over 1 million people killed, at least 100,000, possibly as many as 200,000 have been children. So we in Ireland, we in the West, have helped to kill up to 200,000 children in the last 10 years. That's absolutely appalling. Yeah. In fact, it's depressing even reading the report, almost traumatic just reading the report. Mm-hmm. Think of how it is for the families of those 100,000 people, possibly 200,000 children, in fact, who have been killed. And is it any wonder that they have to resort to terrorism because they have no other way?
Yeah, absolutely. We just see again in the wake of attacks like we saw in Paris a few weeks ago, massive and social media plays a massive part of it. And in the immediate reaction of lots of people when these things have happened is we need to blow this up. We need to and there seems to be this gung ho of let's meet fire with fire. Does that frustrate you when people get kind of sucked into that kind of mentality?
Trying to find simplistic solutions for complex problems.
Yeah.
I have 3 grandchildren living in France, so clearly I am concerned about what's happening in France. But it would be hugely racist of me to say that my 3 grandchildren are more precious and more important than any of the 100,000 little children killed in the Middle East.
Yeah.
And that's the way we must look at it. And yes, it's hugely frustrating to see government leaders and, important commentators saying, yes, we must respond, we must go in and bomb them.
Yeah.
And clearly, most of them must know that the bombing is counterproductive, but they're playing to the voters, they're playing to misguided emotions.
Yeah. If we could kind of broaden it out a little bit, and, you know, we do know that the threat of ISIL, Daesh, where they've got that many names now these days, I don't know what to call them half the time. But, I mean, we also seen in recent months, having sat on the sidelines for a long time, the Russians became involved in the conflict in Syria. And has that made the game different now and maybe even more dangerous, because that didn't seem to be for a while, if I could say, the Russian authorities seemed to revel in the fact that they were maybe giving the Western authorities one in the eye. And is there a little bit now that these guys are playing global politics and Syria is the pitch?
There's quite a bit of that, in fact, and to a significant degree. As soon as Russia went in bombing, France and Britain decided they had to be part of the game. To some extent, there are pros and cons with the Russian intervention. If the Assad regime collapsed overnight, as happened in Libya with Gaddafi, I'm no fan of Gaddafi or Saddam Hussein or Assad, but when you collapse a state like that overnight,
you create a vacuum.
And chaos occurs, and it will be, in some respects, advantageous that at least the Russian intervention is preventing the collapse of the existing government in Syria. If it's bad at the moment, once that government collapses, it will get far, far worse. And the number of refugees flowing, the number of people being killed, will expand by a factor of 2 or 3 almost immediately. So. But clearly there are dangers. The shooting down of the plane, of the Russian plane by Turkey, again, was a hugely irresponsible act by Turkey, but it was predictable. You now have 10 different countries bombing in Syria, and it is almost inevitable that they will start accidentally knocking each other out of the air.
Yeah.
And clearly, there are also huge numbers of people being killed daily in Syria that we're not been told about. We are told that the surgical strikes are taking out ISIS. They may well be taking out some of them, but they're also taking out huge numbers of innocent civilians.
Yeah, because we've seen a certain level of brinkmanship in Ukraine over the Crimea. When Russia went in there, and everybody seemed to stop short of going a bit bananas. But now, as you say, you've got at least 10, 12 different nations flying fighter jets and sending missiles and bombs and rockets and everything else. And as you say, the playing field for this is Syria and the people of Syria. And, you know, when people are then saying, you know, why are we getting overrun with refugees here in Europe? Well, I mean, if you have five or six of the world's superpowers fighting a war and you're over your land and using your land as the playing field, it's not a place where you want to really stay, is it?
Absolutely, and we have huge humanitarian duties and responsibilities mm-hmm. to look after the people that we have caused to flee to a very large extent. And we in Ireland are part of the problem, in fact. Mm-hmm. We should be supporting the UN. The UN has been a disastrous failure in creating peace in the Middle East, but we should be trying to fix that mm-hmm. by being with the UN in New York, thumping the table, forcing the UN to go in and create peace, which has not been allowed to do. And there is a better way. It's not all doom and gloom. Making peace is the solution, and we must talk to these people in the same way that in Ireland we spoke to the IRA and the UDA and the UVF, who were committing crimes against humanity in Northern Ireland. Mm-hmm. And we spoke to the British government, who had also committed crimes in Northern Ireland. And it was only by talking and by compromising that we solved the peace issues in Northern Ireland. We must do the same. We must talk to the evil people involved in the Middle mm-hmm. East. And we must persuade Obama and Cameron and whatever that peace is not only possible, but it's the only solution in the Middle East.
I mean, I suppose that is probably the huge frustration for a lot of observers, a lot of people looking in. I mean, history shows us that military intervention never really leads to any sort of peaceful outcome until everybody puts down the guns and sits down and looks each other over the table, as we had to do in this country. I mean, we'd 30 years in this country of
absolutely
killing and bombing and maiming and it was until the time where everybody said, we need to sit down around the table here, eyeball each other. Oh, you don't like me, I don't like you, but this killing and bombing's not working. But yet, I mean, Britain has, and I don't want to uniquely pick out Britain, but I'm using them as the example because they're our closest neighbour. I mean, hugely involved. We don't seem to learn the lessons of history.
Absolutely not. And I'm not a complete pacifist by any means.
Uh-huh.
In the same way as the Gardaí in Dublin have to use force at times dealing mm-hmm. with drug barons and dealing mm-hmm. with serious crime. We need, at international level, a proper UN, properly resourced, in some cases, undertake genuine humanitarian interventions and genuine peace enforcing. We don't have that. What we have is United States and others and NATO unilaterally, without proper, in fact, in breach of international law, engaging in wars of resources and mm-hmm. calling them bogus humanitarian intervention.
Yeah.
So there is a better way, and Ireland in particular should have no truck at all, in fact, with NATO, should not be allowing US troops to Shannon Airport. I was in Shannon yesterday checking out what's going on. There were two US warplanes at Shannon Airport being protected by the Gardaí. A member of the public asked the Gardaí at Shannon to actually search and investigate the planes. They refused to do so. And again, that makes Ireland a target. We now know, in fact, that Ireland is a possible target for ISIS. And our government is behaving like ostriches, burying our heads in the sand, saying it won't happen. If it does happen, our government will be significantly responsible.
Yeah, and that when you use the Shannon example, and I mean, we've known about the US military using Shannon Airport for a long time. No, there doesn't seem to be any political will in Ireland to make any changes there. The Irish government seem happy that there's nothing illegal happening. It's all above board, everything's fine and dandy. But does that not lead into then you hear people saying things like, and it's very simplistic view, I know, but people say, you know, ultimately when people are asking why bombs, why go to war, people say, you know, war equals dollars. It's all, at the end of the day, it's all about money, it's all about big industry, it's all about people. Somewhere somebody's getting rich and the misery of millions doesn't count once somebody's making money. These war machines all cost. And do you think that big business aspect plays that kind of a role in it, or do you think that that's not really relevant at all? It's political decisions.
Well, fortunately, it does play a role. It's very relevant. Mm-hmm. The arms industry internationally and even in Ireland is huge. But also, people here in the Midwest, in fact, argue that because of jobs in Shannon and US investment, it's a false argument, but it's made on a daily basis down here, that we are justified in supporting our American friends. But the reality is, we're supporting our American friends against our friends in the Middle East. There is no reason why we should be making enemies in the Middle East. And how many innocent children are we entitled to kill for two or three jobs in Shannon Airport? And it's also quite a false argument, because Shannon Airport should be a proper civilian airport. In fact, some people are now arguing, in fact, just, the Irish public should actually boycott the use of Shannon Airport as long as the US military are being allowed to use it, because we are complicit in crimes against humanity.
Finally then, Edward, before I let you go, and it's great time, it's usually interesting talking to you, because, you know, it's important, I think, if people get, you know, upset when they see things like Paris and stuff like that, and again, people get upset when we see refugees and everything, and I think it's important, yeah, sometimes that we, in the cold light of day, sit down and people just kind of, let's kind of look at the broader picture here, the bigger picture, what's actually going on. Going forward for like the Irish anti-war movement, and I know you're involved in the Peace and Neutrality Alliance and stuff like that. Is it just a constant process of making people aware, trying to get the word out to people as much as you can? You know, we need to just open
That's
our
really
eyes to what's going on here.
But it's clearly only part of it, and we are having a public demonstration this coming Thursday at 5 p.m. outside it all. But we have been successful in that. We now know that over 75% of the Irish people are opposed to the breaches of Irish neutrality, don't want US military using Shannon Airport. We have been successful in at least making the people aware, and we would be strongly asking that in the forthcoming election campaign, candidate will be asked, do you support Irish neutrality? It's also important for the Irish people themselves, not just a few of us in the anti-war movement or the Peace and Neutrality Alliance, but for the bulk of the Irish people, to make it known to our government and our politicians, we do not want to be complicit in crimes against humanity, and we do want Ireland to be promoting peace and justice internationally, because it's what we are good at and what we can achieve way beyond the size of our population. So that's hugely important. In the past, we have done great work at the UN from the 1950s onwards. We have now abandoned that completely, and we are involved with having troops serving with NATO, having troops serving in parts of Africa, supporting French neocolonialism. We need to go back to promoting peace, which is what we're good at.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Edward, look, thanks so much for talking to us this morning. It's been
thanks a lot, Mark.
Great talking to you. If people want more information, they just can go to the Irish Anti-War Movement website, yeah?
That's right. And next Thursday at 5 p.m. Outside the door, there will be a demonstration. And we'd like to see a lot of people turning out and telling our government and our politicians, we don't want Ireland to be involved in war. We want them to be involved in peace.
Okay, Edward, listen, thanks very much for talking to us this morning. It's been great talking to you.
Thanks, Mark. Bye-bye.
All the best. Take care. Bye-bye.
This is Near FM.
Weekday mornings from 11.
This is Northside Today.